Freedom Internet is proudly 100% Kiwi owned, offering ultra fast, safe, reliable fiber internet for both short and long term stays, perfect for homes and businesses alike. So if you're living or moving into one of their service apartment buildings, you can get online instantly or the moment you move in with no calls to make, no waiting, and no connection fee. Freedom Internet, building community one gig at a time. Sign up today at freedominternet.co.nz. Yes, welcome back to episode 11. Today we've got AJ Foliafonga in the building. Well, he's over in Japan and I'm just staying home in 09. But I've known AJ for a long time, right back to the early days of Roller Mills and Bill Mack. Since young, we've always known AJ because we knew he was going to reach the levels that he plays today. And we all understand that he hasn't even scraped the surface of what he can do. As a young man, AJ carved through the grades. And the first time we saw him rip up, he was just a little ball bag playing in the first 15. But he was only supposed to be playing in the under 15s. He beat us as well, I guess. And then he played the first team with his age group. Now, moving on, he put on the black jersey on multiple occasions. And here are some of the teams: New Zealand Schools, New Zealand under 19s, under 20s. Went down to Dunners, played for the Premier Sharks. In school, he played the Tonga Barbarian Sevens, Otago NPC, the Highlanders Super Rugby, and now the Tearing Industries Shuttles over in Japan. We're talking to also AJ Foliafonga. Shot for jumping on, brother.
Charles, appreciate having me
here. What intro, Charles? Yeah, there you go. I was getting goosebumps. All of a sudden, bro, I wanted to run out to Nagoya. You want to go out after you heard the intro?
Silly eyes, man. Nah, but happy to be on,
us.
Excited, eh?
Nah, shout for having me on, bro. And we're just going to start, us. You're living in Japan. What's it like, us? And how long have you been there for now?
I'm enjoying my time here in Japan so far. I think I've been here for nearly three months now.
Mm.
So, I've enjoyed every moment of it. It's sort of different sort of coming into this environment compared to what it was like back at home. Just the lifestyle, it's just really different just around how they do things, how respectful it is. Like certain things you do here, it's like... Mm. It's a big ask here in Japan. So, like those little things where you bow before the field and sort of saying hi when you're walking by, boys, like the boys around the clubhouse, like those things is really big here, just around the respect thing. So, bro, I've loved every moment of it, bro. It's I don't know what else to say, but it's mean, bro. I'm having fun. So,
yeah, the culture difference, bro, it must be massive. But to be fair, it's probably pretty similar to our island culture as well. Because you're Tongan and Samoan?
Yeah, Samoan, Tongan, so...
Yeah, because you did, obviously, the Tonga Barbarians, but, you know, your last name's the Samoan side. What's it like? Because I think the cultures are actually more similar than people would expect, eh? Like, in terms of respect, how they treat the elders, etc. It's all pretty similar, eh, in the end.
Yeah, 100%. Here, just in the Japanese culture, it's more of just trying to earn their respect from them. So I sort of came in. They obviously knew of me just around being in Super Rugby and all that sort of stuff. But for me personally, also trying to earn their respect from not just only the players, but the coaching staff as well. We're sort of just earning that respect now. But it sort of took time, you know. When I first came, there's a lot of things that I had to prove myself on and off the rugby field. So, it doesn't really change compared to what it's like in terms of the island culture and and the respect aspect of it. So, nothing really changes, but bro, I'm loving it.
Your team, the Tearing Industries. So let's talk like what kind of team is that? It's and like, you know, the grade you're playing and like what kind of stuff have they got you on since you've been there?
So they're in Division 2. They actually won the season last season. They took it out. So coming into this season, for me, it was more of a lot of expectation from myself. Sort of trying to bring what I can into this environment and sort of help them get to Division 1 is sort of our main focus for this team going forward. So, but honestly, in terms of what has changed, is definitely my eating habit. Honestly, they're strict on your skin folds, your weight, Bro, you don't want to know what I came in when I
Oh,
first
yo.
came, bro. It was dangerous,
Have you
bro.
dropped a
But
bit of weight since you got there?
yeah, I've dropped heaps, man.
Surely.
Scunthorpe Folds have gone down too, so but that's what they sort of pride themselves on. Being fit, being strong. But everything's different here. Just like the rugby in itself, it's like really different just around back in New Zealand, bro. How everyone's big, physical, the game's physical, but here it's more about speed, more about trying to stay in every play. I think that's sort of what helped me and what sort of changed was my eating habit, eh? So I've sort of had a good plan in place now with the nutritionist that is here. He sort of helped me pave the way around my eating. So, but I think that's sort of the difference compared to back at home, eh? So, it's been awesome.
I reckon it's good though, because for someone that especially with your play style, you know where to put the ball on your boot, and you read the game a lot better than some. Being around, a system where they play fast, everyone's fit, and it's consistent from 0 to 80. Do you notice your game kind of slowly changing, and you're starting to see different pictures because it's just a total different style of play?
Yeah, 100%, man. I see more opportunities to go like in Super Rugby. You don't have that much time to sort of see where the space is. You've got a split second to sort of think about what you want to do. But here, you've got time. You still got time to adjust. Have time to think about what the next play will be. So, but like in terms of the rugby, it's still fast, still compared to what Super Rugby was like. But I've sort of not changed, but I'm still trying to get used to the whole Japanese way of playing rugby here. So for myself personally, I'm still learning, just trying to adapt to it. Because to be honest, man, like when I was back at home, you had all these superstars, you had all
Yo.
the older boys. I'm sort of guiding you throughout the game and all that sort of stuff, but now it's like you're the guy that has to sort of be that leader now. So for me, it's a big step, sort of trying to lead and sort of pave the way for the Japanese boys. But I'm loving it. I'm loving the exposure, to be honest, like in
That's
terms of
good.
my leadership. So I know for sure it's gonna keep building, man. But nah, it's been fun.
Yeah, so how long are you signed to stay there for at the moment?
I've signed 2 years at the moment,
Sticky.
so
And
so
see
I'm
how
locked
it
away
plays
for
out.
3 years and then see how things go from there, eh?
Wow.
So
No, I mean, now off the field, what's it like over in Japan? A whole different city, different to Adonis, different to Auckland. What's it like for you? Like, you got new teammates, got a whole different culture. In the city, you could do a lot more than you could do over here in the 09. Like, what's it like?
To be honest, here in where I'm playing, there's not really much to do. So, like, there's a city called Nagoya and all that sort of stuff, Osaka. That's where a few of us boys sort of go around and have a look around and do a bit of sightseeing. But the boys here, or the foreigner boys, sort of get together and we sort of do something as a group. Normally go for a coffee or we'll just play some card games and all that sort of stuff. So there's not really much to do here. But we sort of just try and get around each other, try and plan something, even if it's just going out and having dinner and then just having a yarn and all that sort of stuff. So
Yo.
I actually haven't really explored majority of Japan yet. So just sort of waiting on that time when it comes, and then I'll sort of have a crack and see what Japan's sort of like and the things I can do outside of my area. So
What's sightseeing code for? What do
like shopping, like shopping and
Have you had a night out yet over there?
yeah, had a night out.
Just one, eh?
Yeah, just one, man.
What's your favorite
Nah,
drink there, bro? Because one of my favorite beers is Sapporo.
Honestly,
it's so nice.
But I haven't. I sort of just stick to what I know, to be honest. But bro, the drinks here.
Lolly drinks, eh?
Yeah, bro.
the 10% Hiketsu's.
the 7% here is so crazy. Like, the boys that have been here for a long time, bro, they smack those back like it's nothing, sure. Man. And here I am drinking my 5% lolly drinks. But the night out here in Japan is crazy. It's more of the experience itself. I've enjoyed it. Like, it's really different. Normally, you know how if you go out after a few drinks, long night, and your go-to is, stop at Mecca's. Right here, you got to stop at Eri Konbini. Eri Konbini, because there's no Mecca's or anything open at that time, so... the convenience stores are the go-to here.
So, that's on it. So, how many foreign boys in your team was like heaps of outsiders and like Kiwis?
Yeah, there's a few Kiwis, but they've been here for like 4 years. So, they're much older than me too. So, I think it's like maybe 10 of us. So there's like 10, 12 of us. So,
You reckon that helped you set it into the team?
Yeah, 100%. Like that made me. That made me feel like home, just having those boys around, and they sort of know what it's like to leave family and the sacrifices and all that sort of stuff. And it's good the boys here, man. They try and get around you. And like I said before, bro, we just try and get something going and sort of just build connections and all that stuff. So, it's been good, eh?
Bro, Arnold, sweet. We're gonna go right back to the start then. Also, we'll talk like where you grew up and all that. So, back in 2009, what was it like? Where did you grow up?
Yeah, so I was born and bred in Auckland. I've got four older sisters. I went to St. Peter's College in Auckland. started my rugby career, my journey at my local club, Manukau Rovers. That's sort of how I started my journey and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
What part of you grew up in? You grew up out South Eels.
Yeah. So I grew up in Mangere. I've stayed in Mangere since I was young and I love staying there. I don't think I'll ever leave. In terms of my family, I don't think we'll ever leave Mangere. So that's been our area, our home. So grew up there.
So what primary schools in that did you go to and intermediate?
Yeah, so I went to Robson Road. It's just down the road. I went to primary and intermediate there. All my siblings and that went there as well, so had no choice but to go there. So from there on, I wanted to go to King's College. That's the school I wanted to go to.
That's just great.
But things obviously didn't go my way, so I tried to get into St. Peter's in year 9, and they declined me. They declined me because I wasn't Catholic. So not much people know, but I went to Marston College for a term. So I went to Marston College for a term just to, because there was a Catholic school. So they're like, you got to go to at least a Catholic school to sort of make it easier for you to come into St. Peter's. So I went there, did my one term there, and and then before start of term two, they reached out and they offered a scholarship, and then I was like, should have given that to me at the start, man. So then I got into St. Peter's, bro, and I had a few boys that I was going to match with that were at St. Peter's already, so it sort of made that move much easier for myself.
I think you were my cousin at St. Peter's, eh? Meko?
Meko?
Yo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, he was. I was the same year.
Yeah, same year.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we got the other boys. We got Tito.
Heaps of beasts. Who else? There's a few more boys too.
I don't know, because you played... it doesn't help because you played 15 since you were, like, freaking 15, bro. So when you first went to St. Peter's, what was it like? It was pretty cool, especially like you get exposed to, you know, that's also a whole different culture. Like, you know, just, it's a lot different to what you would have gone through at primary school and stuff.
Nah, bro, I loved it, eh? Like, yeah. It was just different. Like, I came from, no disrespect to the master in college school, but it was like, you know, really different just around how strict it was. Went into St. Peter's, bro. You had to tuck in your shirt, pull your socks up. Like,
did you wear garters? Make sure did you wear garters?
Nah, not me, man. So it was a big eye opener for me, just going into a really organized sort of school. But to be honest, I thought going into that school was like, oh, it's just gonna be all. Well, Barangi people, and then I got there and there was heaps of islanders. So, like, heaps of islanders from South Auckland that I was sort of surprised about. So I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Got a few island boys that are from South Auckland, from Mangere, that are coming all the way here to school. So, bro, my experiences at school have been great. Like you said before, bro, the exposure in terms of, you know, being able to throw in the deep end and having a crack at first 15 was crazy. I sort of just wanted to have a crack, you know. I didn't want to make it, or I didn't want to try. I wasn't trying to make the team that year, but
things sort of turned. So you did play year
9A? No. I played in year 10, yeah.
Oh, right. but you saw the first 15 in year 9 and you were like, yo.
Denzel Pritchard, do you remember Denzel Pritchard?
Oh, D in that year.
So he was a year 10 when he made first 15. Oh, and then I was like, surely I can have a crack, you know, and try and see what happens. Year 10 came and I was like, oh, I'll just put my name down and have a crack. And things just went, things just turned really quickly. I didn't expect it at all. But it was cool, eh?
Ended up being a massive year for you that year. Before we go into that, bro, because that's just bringing back PTSD, we'll talk about stuff like sport, bro, as a youngin, like when you're coming through, always been rugby driven, playing any other sports or just your
coach? Nah, man. So when I was younger, I played a bit of soccer growing up. It's sort of a common thing with rugby players, but so I enjoyed playing a bit of soccer, and my dad was like, "No, we don't want you to be a soccer player." so he was like, "You know, we'll take you to our local club, Manuka Rovers. Sign me up there, bro." And we just, obviously, for me, it was more of just having fun. Like, I didn't really see myself as a professional rugby player growing up. But I just liked to, I just had fun with it, eh? My dad was a big rugby head. He loved the game. So he told me back in the day he was a good footy player. So I don't know if I believe that, but I asked him to show me some photos from back in the day, but he's like, nah, got none. So that's sort of how my rugby journey sort of started. And
That's pretty mean. Just being kind of there. I think it's good that you started at football as well, though, because all like the minor skills you would have picked up from there. Because obviously you kick now and you got a massive boot. I reckon a lot of that coordination came from football, eh, when you first started.
Yeah, definitely. But like I said, bro, when I was young, man, I just loved kicking. Like, that was like sort of my thing, man, and sort of trying to bring that into rugby, and it sort of helped me in a way. So, it definitely helped. So
yeah, on. And you grew up in church, bro?
Yeah. So me and my family are Mormon. It's but church here is pretty different compared to home. Sort of trying to find my way around here, like around trying to get to church in there. Because for me to get to church, man, it's like I've got to catch like 4 trains.
Oh,
yeah. So it's tough trying to, and it's like really early, bro, like 8 o'clock church service starts. So, I've got to catch 4 trains to get to church. And but my faith has definitely helped me to get me to where I am today, man. Like,
yeah, just about to ask that, like the values and stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if it wasn't for him, my family, my parents, especially for motivating me to at least attend church, has made a big impact in my life around my 40s. So, pretty blessed and grateful to have the skills and talents that I have.
Mm.
But, you know, all the credit goes to him. So,
bro, that's honest. Bro, good on you for that. What were you like as a kid, bro? Like, your personality? Were you more of a shy kid or were you pretty out there? Because I like, when people always ask me, everyone always just tells me, bro, can you shut up? And I'm like, bro, even when I grew up, I just never stopped talking. So what was it like for you?
So for me growing up, man, I was a shy kid. Like I didn't want to associate with anyone. I didn't like to have conversations, or I didn't even want to go and play outside when I was young with the kids, like with my cousins and that. So I sort of like to stay to myself, like to this day, bro, I'm still shy. Like, I still try and keep to myself.
Mm.
I sort of try and stay out of trouble. I sort of just try and stay in my own lane. So, so nothing has really changed, man. Like, I've been a shy person since I was young, so I'm still shy to this day. So,
I reckon a lot of it comes down to your humility, there, bro. You've always been one of the humble kids growing up, it's just different because once the game starts, all of a sudden, someone's trying to shout at me.
Don't even start, man. When I played against you back at school, man, you're the most nicest dude. And then when we play, all I can hear is, AJ, I'm coming for you, bro.
Hey.
I'm coming for you, bro. And I'm like,
oh, that's ugly. That's crazy.
Bro, 2020, you remember 2020, bro?
That's crazy because I was actually nice. Actually, what's this next one? Work ethic. What was it like? Your work ethic. You've always been a hard worker from young, and like you said before, you one of your idols was dad growing up, and dad's obviously a hard worker. That shone down onto you.
Yeah, 100%. I've always prided myself on hard work. I want to give a little shout out to my coach growing up, Nick Morley. He sort of helped me in part of my career. He's always drilled into me that hard work always beats talent. Bro, I've always been that hard working person. No matter what's going on in life or on the rugby field, bro, I just keep going. I won't stop until I'm old or whatever it is. But bro, I pride myself on hard work. Sort of ties into my mom and my dad. They've sacrificed a lot to put me to where I am today, and so they sort of paved the way for me. So I sort of get my hard work from my parents. So,
sure. Love that. I think, you know, with athletes, especially with the younger athletes, a lot of people. Yeah, I'm thinking of guys like Rico Ioane and a lot of the big players. When you're in the limelight and you're judged by 80 minutes of the week, people always think, you know, everyone always could be better. Like, everyone always wants someone to be better. And I just read SJ's book and it kind of sparked because, you know, you're talking about how grateful you are for mum and dad. And in SJ's, in Sean Johnson's book, he talks about how, you know, everyone judged him for the 80 minutes, but he was more than that. Like, he was more than 80. He was a son, you know, his parents.
Yeah, 100%.
Back to his parents. And I think, you know, for an athlete, It's always funny when you hear them talk about their parents, because then it puts, you know, the 80 minutes into perspective where, you know, it's your job, I understand, but there's a lot more to life than the 80 minutes.
A lot more to life than just 80 minutes on the field, man. So, 100%.
Yeah, that's it. We'll go to the next points then. We'll start breaking through the journeys. What was your first rep team, bro, when you were playing in school as a youngin'?
First rep team at school?
Yeah, bro.
I think it was...
Roller Mills, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it was. Roller Mills. Yeah, it was Roller Mills. There was a comp before Roller Mills.
You had to be like under 68 kgs though.
Yeah. So I played for Mangere East. Like the team was Mangere.
What's it called? There's under 13s. Bill, because I played in the Bill Mack one.
Yeah. And there was another one.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But the boys that were in that team were like.
Oh, Walter Dixon, bro.
Yeah, Walter Dixon. Bro, what? Yeah, Walter Dixon. Dayton was on that team. That's when I first met Dayton.
Yeah.
There was me and Wolf Boys. But yeah, that was sort of my first rep team that I made. So from there on, I was lucky enough to be in that Old Mills team. But we were unfortunate in that year, man. We should have won that final. I think it was against Bear Plenty, I think. I had a kick to win. And obviously it went over, man. It went over, but the linesmen were like, nah, it didn't go over. So.
Oh, was it a short post or something?
Like, also short post. Short one. So you kick it, and it, like, it sort of just went right past the post.
Yo.
And it looks like it went in. Well, it did. But to them, they were like, nah, it didn't. So, the game was done there. But we had a good team that year.
Who'd you lose to in the final?
I think it was Bear Plenty. Bear Plenty was the team, so...
Bro, man. Yes. What was good it like, stuff, bro? It's crack up playing with other guys from schools, eh? Because it's all your mates and stuff.
Yeah, bro. That's the beauty of rugby, isn't it? You just want to have fun with your mates, play with your boys, bro, that's sort of why I love the game now, because I just play with my mates and meet new people and all that stuff. So,
Going up after that, then you will go to like that's like year 9 and year 10-ish. Is that kind of like under 16s in that level for you?
Yeah, when I made rep teams.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. I think under 16. I think Auckland Central.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. I made Auckland Central that time in that year.
The yellow ones, eh? The yellow shirt.
The yellow ones, yeah. Did we play? No, we didn't play against each other, did we?
Nah, I think we only played.
Oh,
we would have played against each other in the tourney. It's the one where Blake in that one.
Yeah.
It was like Blake and and Bono and all those boys.
Bono and that.
Yo.
So from there, I think there was an 18s Auckland Central.
Yeah.
There was, I had a crack at that, and then
would have been I like think blues 16s and 17s and
18s. Blues 17s, Blues 18s, and then the New Zealand Barbarians that we were both a part of.
Oh, yeah, because of COVID, eh? That's right.
COVID, yeah. So, all right. Yeah. That's all that I remember.
Yo, now that you bring that all up, there's actually heaps that we did back at school. When you were a kid, bro, like in high school, one of the things that's crack up is because you're up there and because we all kind of knew that you're going to end up playing the way you do now and make the levels that you have played and yet to play, what was it like when like rep teams and stuff came out? Were you always wary of like the fact that you had kind of the peer pressure of not needing to make these teams, but the peer pressure of the expectation? Were you always wary of that in school?
Yeah, 100%, man. Like my dad always talked to me about there's going to be a big expectation around trying to make the teams, but my dad sort of told me that the only thing you can control is how you perform. So what I did every weekend was I just went and had fun, man. I went and did what I did best.
Yeah.
Not knowing what was going to happen, if I was going to make these teams or not. So it was at the back of my head, don't get me wrong. Like, I would love to be selected, but the only thing I could control was how I performed every weekend. So I just went out and did what I did, played with my mates from school. And I sort of let my performance do the talking. So I was sort of surprised, to be honest, when I was selected in that group. I've sort of just kept my head down and not worrying about what's going to happen after. So
before we go on to the next rep teams, bro, because obviously you've made just, I think you've ticked every box you can for that in schools. We got to go back to where your very first season in year 10, because in that season you won a 1A and you also visited the place you're at now, didn't you?
Yeah. So
what was that like as a youngin?
Winning it in 2018.
Yeah, just brief details.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure you're okay. Like I said before, man, I didn't expect to play that season. Like, I made the team. There were two senior boys that were in the team before me, and they're first fives, and I knew that I was going to get any game time because of the experience. But they both got injured at the start of the season, and I sort of had the opportunity to have a crack. And but I took with both hands, like, it's my time to put my mark down and try and secure the team jersey. And that's obviously what I did. I just went, try to do my best, trying to guide the boys around the field. And obviously the main goal was for us to win it.
You did.
Yeah, but yeah, long story short, man, we had that semi-final against St. Kent's. Everyone was writing us off.
They were, hey, that's right, bro.
Yeah.
They thought you had no chance.
Bro, no one had trust in us. And bro, Nico Jones, he pretty much brought the boys together and he was like, boys, I don't care what you do, just go out there and do your best. Like, if you come off that field sore and you're exhausted and you're like, you can't move, and we still, you know, that's all I asked for, boys. And he was like, okay. So we went out, bro, everyone was just a next level, bro. Zan Holo, bro, the Sam Wai, bro, all the Missy Tapa, he was on another level. So, bro, the boys thought like that.
Bro,
Leo was in there. Denzel was in there. Apitoni Baka, the center.
Stacked, eh?
That team was stacked. And it came to that last play where Zan Holo just ran through two big props and, bro, and we won, bro. That was the best feeling ever, man. Like, there's a video of me like jumping around, bro. The boys are like celebrating here, bro, and I'm like over here jumping, like,
bro.
I was on my own, celebration, but got to the final. Everyone wrote us off again.
Because of
how good Kings were. Like, these guys had a good team that year.
Yeah.
These guys were hard to stop and. If you want me to pull it up,
you know what cracks me up about that game when I think back, bro? Everyone was like, oh, I remember after the game, people were like, oh, St. Peter's beat Kent. And everyone was like excited because they were like, oh, it's easier now.
Yeah, everyone was like, bro, that's easy. King is going to go St. Peter's.
Yes, and I remember people were like, because they would come to us, they'll come to the younger boys, they'll ask, oh, who's AJ? Like, because we're all the same year. And they're like, who's AJ? We're like, bro, he's our year. And you know, like, I remember some of the senior boys were just giving a stank face, eh? Because they just figured that you're, and bro, Israel, and like me and the young boys were like, I don't think they understood, because they didn't know you, so they're, and I don't think
exactly.
I was like, oh, hell no, nah. They're actually underestimating this guy.
Yeah, bro, and but he's what's your guy's number 8's name?
Oh,
he plays for the
Sunny River.
Bro, that dude,
Yo.
Every time he saw me, he would just run at me.
Yo.
No hesitation, he would just run at me. So that 1A final, we had to change our defense, like where I stand.
Oh, yeah.
Because we obviously knew that he was going to run to me because I'm a smaller bloke.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I had to stand outside center and he catches it in the middle. And then he comes all the way around just to try and run to me.
Yo.
Bro, and I was like, boys, are you going to help me?
Oh, bro. That was a mean game, though. 29-28, down to the last second, bro. And but good on you guys for going through because, bro, you guys deserved that in the end with the way you guys wanted it. You guys just wanted it more than everyone because, you know, it was almost like you guys were playing like you had nothing to lose.
Yeah, honestly, well, like I said, Nico was a great leader for us, eh? He sort of just told us, bro, we have nothing to lose. Like,
bro, he's the man.
Everyone's doubting us. So the only thing we can do is just go and do what we can do best, and that's just play. But
didn't you win the Sanex that year, bro?
No, we made the final, but we lost.
Oh, who'd you play in the final? Paul Roos?
Paul Roos in the final. We got a hiding.
Was that the game where you guys became a highlight for being John Jones?
Nah, not me. No, not me, bro. Nah, it was, we were a highlight reel after that. And...
Oh, crack up.
Yeah,
but, bro, you got it in the end. And then, what do you call it? That's me, because earlier in your career of school, you ended up with a medal. So who cares? Yeah.
Who cares, man?
Yeah. sweetest. And then let's go after school. When did you start talking to want to go down to Dunners, bro? Like, you made schools and whatnot. When was your chance to talk down in Dunners?
It was sort of, like, throughout, like, towards the back end of 2021.
Yeah.
I was having a look around with my agent. They sort of brought me over. Because I had a look at the Satyrs, went down to the Satyrs, had a look around there, and then went down to Dunedin, had a look around there. But before I went down to Dunedin, I was set on going to Christchurch. Like, I was set to continue my career there. But then I had a look down south, man, and I was like, bro, I think I could see myself staying here.
Yeah.
Pretty much went back home and had a good chat with my parents and my agent, and I was like, no, I'm happy to go down and develop my game down south. So that was sort of
easy. Did you get a shock at the student culture down there or no?
Yeah. So when I first went down for preseason, bro, like, there was not much people there.
Yeah.
It's a quiet town because of, you know, none of the students were there at the time. But once the season came around, bro, everyone just turned up and you're like, what's going on here? Like, all these uni students turning up, but it was a different, was a culture shock for sure. So,
and you enjoyed it, bro, your first year down there, you know, getting into playing the under 20s Super Rugby comp and, you know, just wiggling your way in and around the NPC and development sides. What was it like for you, bro, your first year down there?
Yep. Just in terms of the rugby side, like, it was mean. Like, I had the likes of Aaron Smith.
Yeah.
Tony Brown was still there when I was in my first year. So I was lucky enough to have those guys there to learn off. So I was sort of just being a sponge, man, and just taking every opportunity that I can and just learning off the best. So that rugby side of things was mean. Like, I enjoyed it. Off-field... it was a whole nother level, like different people from different regions coming down to Dunedin and building good relationships and getting to know different people from parts of New Zealand was the other cool thing about it. But in terms of, like, everything else, bro, it was probably the best decision I've made. Because for me personally, I've always wanted to be at home. I've always wanted to be surrounded by family. I was never confident in leaving, but my parents and family were surprised that I made that decision to go.
Mm.
So there was a whole, you know, things were different. Like, I was trying to be independent more and trying to do things by myself. But yeah, now it was that sort of helped me become the man I am today. Yeah. Just around being independent, like now I'm staying by myself in Japan. But having to pay for your own bills is crazy. Cooking your own meals and all that stuff. So that first year has helped me be a good person and a better person. So.
Yeah, 100%, bro. Being independent straight after school, you know, trying to figure out the big world, helped your transition, eh? Because now you're over in Japan. I reckon if you didn't go down there and stayed home, it would have been a way harder transition for you, eh?
Yeah, 100%, man, bro. It'll be hard as, but I'm loving it now.
And how'd you find the sharks down there, bro?
There's a lot of stuff I want to say, but probably won't be good for the party. But
was it a crack up though?
It's crack up. It's a good culture, bro. Like I said, bro, it was an eye opener for me. Like I went to my first sort of function at the Sharks, and bro, it was the most craziest bunch of boys that I've ever met. Your brother probably have experienced it, but.
Yo.
Because your brother's down there, right?
Yeah, bro. He's the Sharkies. I think they just lost the semi or something this year. Yo.
Yeah. So, it's a good bunch of group. Like, boys, the coaches, they get amongst it as well. And the club itself, they're really family orientated. They make sure that you're all good. But, bro, the rugby is good. But the off-field is even better.
Oh, shout-out to the Sharkies, bro.
So shout-out to the Sharkies, bro. But, that club has a good place in my heart, to be honest, because they sort of looked after me when I first came down, showed me around, and just made me feel like home, bro. And shout-out to the Sharkies.
Yeah, shout-out to them, bro. I went down and watched Jar play down there. And just the club, bro. You can tell the club's gangster. You can tell, you know, because their team was mean this year as well. Like, because Maxie and that are down there still as
Maxie,
well.
Yeah.
So those boys are still jamming, but you could tell like their chemistry was so on because they were looking forward to clubbies before the whistle even blew.
Bro, they're already planning everything and we're in the changing room. They're like, prepping to run now, and they're like, boys, so this is what we're gonna do after the game. And I was like, we got a game to play, but. You know, that's the culture. Like, that's what it's like. Like, playing club rugby is more of just having a bit of fun. And those boys had heaps of fun, man. But
yeah, gone. Shout out to the Sharkies boys and girls. Under-20s, bro, the first, not New Zealand under-20s, the Super Rugby under-20s comp. What was that like for you, bro? You played 2 years with that.
Yeah, it was good, bro. Like, I had fun, eh? Like, it was, for me, bro, like, it was just like, being able to go back to Auckland and to play in front of my family and to see my family was like the big thing. I was excited mainly, but playing with the boys, man, it was good. Like, we had a good bunch of boys. We had a good team to sort of have a crack at winning it, but things didn't go our way that year. I think we had like Fabian Holland, we had Noah, Cam Miller was in that team, Ollie Haig. So, bro, we had a good team that year, but it was more of a good exposure for majority of us. It was like just to showcase our skill set, just on live television, and it was good.
Because it's a good experience, opportunity, bro, for the boys that are in academies. Whether you're, you know, whether you're wanted, whether you're not, boys that just play club footy. And then boys that are, you know, pretty much playing trials for New Zealand under 20s, just to get together for a couple months and then play, you know, a week tournament.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it'll help them build their careers as well. Like, some people might not know of this player or that player, and playing in that Super Rugby tournament definitely help a few players out in terms of their careers. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for forgetting his name, but there's that guy that he got player of the tournament and he was in the Barbarian side. He didn't even get picked for Satyrs. He ended up getting...
That flanker? Was he flanker?
Bro. Yeah.
I don't know his name, but I know who you're talking about.
But now he plays like Satyrs and like full-on NPC. And
You see, that's crazy.
In Z20s as well.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, bro. But
it shows the hard work pays off, eh? When you just especially the younger grades like that, like the first year, second year out of school. New Zealand 19s that year for you, eh? Or was that the year after?
Yeah, no, that was the year. Was the year.
What was that like? Because you guys went to South Africa, was it?
Yeah, went to South Africa.
Yo.
I think we had like four games. We were there for a month, so. But it was all good. Like, everyone sort of took the piss, to be honest. Like, we just rocked up to Japan or to South Africa, and we were just like, you know, we'll just have fun. Like, we'll just go out and put a good performance out for the crowd and all that sort of stuff. But, bro, we're only an under-19s team.
Yeah.
But the support and everything, bro, was unreal. Like, they treated us like we're the actual All Blacks. Like, they were, like, coming to the hotels, they'll be outside. But, like, at the time, us boys are, like, looking outside the window and be like, holy, here's the people outside.
Started
like
practicing your signature, eh?
Like, we're just, everyone's sitting down, like, doing their signatures and, like, making sure we look nice and all that sort of stuff. So that was a good experience just trying to explore South Africa itself, like, went to Johannesburg, Cape Town. We went some other place, but playing at Ellis Park, bro, it was cool. Like, there wasn't much people there, but playing, just knowing that you play on Ellis Park was cool. Like, the best experience
ever. Eden Park, hey.
Yeah. Bro, it was the best experience ever. Like, it was really close, like the stadium's like real tight, close to the field, and I've enjoyed it.
And then the year after that, because you go on and that became New Zealand. Well, did you make New Zealand under 20s in your first year out of school as well?
No, I didn't.
But your second
I missed out in the second year.
Yeah. So what was that? Talk to us through our NZ20s campaign.
That campaign was good. So for me personally, I wanted to play at 10. They sort of had a plan in place around putting me at 12 at the under 20s campaign. So we had Taha at that time, so it was sort of hard to try and get me in that mix as well. But the experience itself, like with that sort of group, was outstanding, bro. Like, we had the opportunity to take it out. Like, we had the players, we had the coaches to lead us there, but things just didn't fall our way. Like,
was that the year, bro, when there was real bad weather at Dilworth? Or that might be the year before.
No, I think the year before.
But you got to play with mean guys, good coaching.
Bro, we had to play. We had the best team. We had Peter Lakai, Siale Lawaki, Ray. Bro, we had a good group. We had a good group of boys, but we just missed out. Eh? We just didn't have. It felt like we just didn't have that eager to push, like, get better. But I learned heaps in terms of that trip, just around how to be more professional, and just nailing your own detail just around your eating, what you do off-field, how you recover. So all those little things sort of helped me become not a good player, but just sort of understand those little details around those little things. So the campaign, bro, I loved it. Had some good nights out. it was good.
Because that's the closest. So was that in Goldie, right?
No, that was in South Africa.
The 20s?
Yeah, so that was where we played.
In South Africa.
Both years. Yeah, so it was in South Africa, and then I think the year before they were at GC.
Oh, yeah.
So they played the sort of championship there.
Yeah. But that's the closest you'd get, bro, to like a professional environment. I mean, as in like NPC-ish over to a like super level playstyle, and that was a good stead for you to start getting into NPC that year?
Yeah. But it sort of helped me in a way, like around the professional side of things. Like you're playing a different team from different countries and they've got different ways in around how they play. So it was more of just trying to adapt to it, but then sort of using that experience that I have to move on into NPC. So that definitely helped me in a way. It's been a good experience so far.
Yeah, gangster. And we'll quickly wrap over NPC and Super Rugby, because I think they're pretty similar in the way you play and the play style of both competitions. What was it like, bro, as you know, being first 2 years out of school and getting in the environments?
Bro, it was unreal. Like I didn't know it was gonna come as quick as I thought it would be. Like I just came down thinking just to have a crack and just do what I can to get noticed. I was lucky enough to be selected and to be put in that mix for both NPC and Super. But once I did get my opportunities, bro, I just took it with both hands. Like I did what I had to do. I had to work hard for my spot. But when I had the opportunity to debut for both teams, bro, it was the best feeling ever. Especially my Super Rugby debut. That was probably the best feeling I've had in a long time. Scoring on my debut was a bonus,
That's right.
But like playing against the Blues boys, like that's the team I've always wanted to play for growing up. Yeah. Like I wanted to be with them, but being able to play against them was crazy, and being able to score was cool. So I only played 10 minutes, man, but that 10 minutes was the longest 10 minutes of my life.
Oh, true.
But I got on and we were defending for like the first 5 minutes. And that 5 minutes felt like 20 minutes.
Damn.
It was just how fast it was and just the shock to the system, like for me, just around how fast it is. And man, it was so fast. And then I don't even know how I scored. I just told Jacob, bro, leave it. I'm going to get it. And yeah, the poor dude was like, oh, I'll let you score on your debut. So he left it and I scored. And yeah, that celebration, I don't know what was going on in my head, my adrenaline was just pumping.
Yeah, fair enough, G.
I felt like I won the World Cup, bro, I felt like I won something, bro, but it was just a good feeling. It was cool, eh?
Bro, so what do you think the feeling was, bro? Like you said it was one of the greatest days of your life. Like, what was the feeling? Was it like, are you talking like excitement factor, or was it more of like a, you feel like all your hard work's paid off now that you're about to debut for the first time?
I think for me it was like all my hard work, like for me to be where I am, like everything I've done to earn the opportunity and to score, bro, it was like a mix of emotions. Like I was thinking, you know, about my family, thinking about the sacrifices that I've done to be in that situation. So the emotions part was there. It was all over the place, but I was just sort of satisfied around all my hard work that I've done sort of paid off. So now I was happy.
Yeah, sums it up well, both like from going straight back to where you grew up all the way to now. It's crack up, eh? Like, you just reminded me that debut try, man, but that was on. I remember, I think we were all watching that as well. You're in Japan now. I don't know, you might not be able to talk about it, I know, but like, what was it that took you to Japan? Like, why did you want to head over to Japan, bro, from Super Rugby and what you had going on over here in NZ?
Personally, I wanted to develop my game even more. So the decision to come to Japan was pretty difficult. Growing up as a New Zealand, as a New Zealander, your dream is to become an All Black. And for me to sort of sacrifice and leave that behind and to come and develop my game here in Japan was sort of the main factor around it. Because I didn't really get that much opportunities to play down in Dunedin. So I thought, why not go to Japan, develop my game and that 2 years, and then try and come back to New Zealand rugby and try and have another crack at that jersey. Yeah. But for me, it really depends. Like, at the moment, I'm enjoying my time here in Japan. I've loved every moment of it, and things could change. Like, I want to go back and play in New Zealand and try and go for that jersey, but God might have another plan for me in place, and if that's for me to stay in Japan and play here long term, and that will be it. But that was sort of main focus around me coming here, was to develop my game as a player and try and master the things I'm really good at here, getting better even more so.
Yeah, I think we talked about it before the podios. You said it's kind of like a two birds, one stone situation, because you've dropped heaps of weight, you've got fit as, it's the hardest preseason block you've done, you reckon, but at the same time, you're further excelling your skill, your body gets well taken care of. And so when you do, you know, decide it, you know, God willing, whatever your future is, to come back home, at least you've ticked off a lot of boxes where you've been gone. It's not just a stagnant career period for you.
Yeah, 100%. So to be honest, my decision to come, I think I made the best decision for myself personally. But like, you know, it's just seeing how things sort of go with my 2 years here in Japan. Yeah. And seeing where things take me here. So
yeah.
But the main goal was obviously wanting to go back home, play back in New Zealand, and try and go for that jersey. So
yeah.
But
Yeah, we'll see where the future goes, Ava. We'll go on to the next one. We've got our quick files. We'll fire these off. We'll go on to our did you make a team?
Yeah. Made a team. I'm not sure if it's any good.
We'll do our quick fire then, Us. And then we'll go on to our team, our actors 15. I got AJ to draft up actors and actresses 15, so we'll battle that one for that. But first, we'll run through this. So I'll just ask you some questions real quick, Us, the quick fire ones, and then we'll get on to that. So who's the best player you've played with to date?
I'll probably have to say Billy Harmon.
Ooh, the man, bro. The toughest worker, eh?
Yeah, he's a workhorse, bro. He just does his job.
Yeah.
Works hard for you. Billy Harmon.
That's it. Favorite memory with the Sharkies?
Probably my first game. My first game with him. Bro, it was the best game. It was raining, but all I did was kick goals. Yeah. Everyone. So that was a good way to start my time in Dunedin.
You got to jam with Conrad?
Yeah, I jammed with Conrad. Oh, who else? Max?
Yeah.
Jammed with those boys. Yeah,
oh, my first year. So can you count to 10 in Japanese?
I don't know about that one. I can't even understand Japanese.
Would you rather have a good step or good speed?
Probably good speed, eh?
Good speed.
Yeah.
How many drinks do you have before your goners?
Probably like 10.
What's the best thing about St. Peter's?
Just the brotherhood. The brotherhood is unreal. So I think that's the main thing about it. Mm. So yeah, I appreciate the brotherhood.
Mm. Who's the smelliest player you've played with?
Oh, right, there's a lot out there. I might have to throw. We'll go Solo Mahu.
Oh, hell, what a saddest dude. The funniest teammate you've played with.
Bro, I've got two.
Yeah.
It's Abraham Pauly.
Oh, yo.
And Jonah Nariki.
Oh,
bro, true. Let me explain why. These two, they've got the most outrageous things to say. But it's crazy what they say. And like Hume, Abraham Pole, you're like 100 meters away and you can hear his laugh.
Oh.
Bro, he's one of those ones where you can see, you can hear him before you see him.
What, is it like a hyena laugh?
Yes, it is, mate. That's like, it's the most craziest laugh you'll ever hear. But the stuff they say just makes you laugh, man. Like, bro, they're funny, man.
What's the first thing you do after a game, Moose?
First thing I do is, bro, I get a good feed in me.
That's it.
Bro, I have to,
feed,
man.
You feed in Japan at the moment, bro.
But I keep it normal way. Just the usual Macca's run. Just easy. Just in and out. So yeah, Macca's run my go to.
And what's one song you'd listen to after a game? Before a game.
I like to listen to chill music before. So mine would be Akon by Don't Matter.
Oh yo.
Yeah, so that's
funny. You kind of look like Akon as well.
What?
Totally. All right, Sweetos, we're gonna go to our questions for the that I got up for you. I'm just gonna get those up real quick, and then we'll go on to our. Just gotta go to my. There we go. Questions. Oh, come on, bro. Oh, there we go. So we just will start with the questions for what school did you like beating?
I'll probably say King's College.
Guy. why is your nickname Cookie?
Was that Caleb?
Yo.
Bro, what? Bro, that guy's. Nah, bro, it's an inside joke.
We won't get you guys canceled.
Yeah.
Izzy asked me to say, have you seen Oscar's dad?
Bro, I don't even understand that question.
Who's your
favorite? I don't even know what he's talking about either.
Who was your favorite flatty and Dunners?
I probably have to say Oscar Tiliolo.
Oh, yo. What's the most? Oh, he asked this next question. What's the hardest thing you've come across playing footy professionally in New Zealand?
Probably just trying to deal with the hate and just like trying to block out all the noise.
Well, would you get some?
That's what you hear from other people. But
oh hell no.
Yeah. So, but that's part of it, bro. Like, I had a good group of boys down in Dunedin that sort of looked after me. And I sort of just like, you know, just can't do anything about it. I just focus on what I can do best. So,
I didn't ask you about that. We'll go into that real quick before we get the other questions done by the people. I assume there would have been the very first time professionally that you read a comment or you saw something. What was it like for you, bro? Like, did it hurt?
Nah, bro, it actually didn't really, like, I don't really dig much into it, eh? Like, I see them, don't get me wrong, I see them, but I don't really react to them as how much other people want me to. I sort of just use that as drive, to be honest. I pretty much, Oscar Tiralo, he's always told me that, no matter how much people hate you, you're always going to have your family that loves you and cares about you. So I sort of took that under as well. Like, if my family and my parents care about me, and that's all that matters to me. And but like, yeah, so I sort of just, I went through that period where I was trying to deal with it. But now that I don't really care about it now. 100%.
Say there's another kid, bro, like, you know, first, second year out of school, and they were on a similar trajectory to what you were, going straight into professional. What would you say to them if they read a comment or they heard something or a whisper that they were whatever?
The one thing I would say is always reach out to your family. Your family's always going to be there. Through the highs and through the lows, your family will be the backbone of you, and they'll do whatever it takes to make sure that your mental health is all sorted and okay. So, yeah, I'd probably say just make sure you connect with your family, and yeah, things should take care of himself after that.
Garnals, that's it. I'm gonna clip that one. I like that one. All right, we'll get back to our fan questions. It was a bit of a random trajectory going from serious to back to this, but Aone Lolofia asked a question. He said, can you say your pepeha in Japanese?
These guys are trolls, man.
Izzy asked a good one, bro. What do you say? What do you think you'd be doing if rugby was no longer on the cards, Us?
I wanted to become a police officer, so.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to. but that was the dream. Like, I wanted to become a police officer when I was younger.
Hmm.
So, the fact of rugby being involved in my life sort of changed my point of view. But that's still in the back. Like, that's still there. That's still the drive if things don't work out around my rugby. But I'd love to just become a police officer and,
Garnus, mean. Oh, last one, Us. We'll go to another one. Is there anything that you've regretted in terms of footy, Us?
No, I don't think I have any regrets, to be honest. I sort of just took every opportunity that I had with both hands, and I just put my best foot forward. Like, I try and leave everything out there. I didn't leave anything out.
Garnus, you've already answered this, but I'll say it anyway. Jackie Higgins asked, is he going to come back into New Zealand rugby and pursue the dream of wearing the black jersey?
Yeah, 100%. That's the dream, but we'll see how things go here in Japan. So
hard. That's it. Sweetles, we'll go to our last section. Actors and actresses, rugby starting 15. Let's start off with our tight thrills. Who do you have at props and hooker?
So you're not going to be happy, bro, but... But number one, I went with Tom Hanks.
Oh, no, I see that.
Number two, I went Brad Pitt.
Yo, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And then number three, I went Jack Black.
Jack Black. Oh, Poe. Is this the come of Poe? I got Jason Momoa, Tom Hardy, and The Rock at Tyhead Prop.
Oh, The Rock.
My dad.
Not
Chad. Who's got to your locks? Who's in your locks?
Today I went with number four, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, granddad.
And number five, I went with Will Smith.
Oh, take
I was trying to think of some tall actors, but I was like, oh, I have no clue, bro.
Yo, I had to search it up, eh? I searched it up. But my lock, one of them I did, Liam Neeson, you know the guy from Taken?
Oh, yeah?
Yo, I did Liam Neeson that one, but young Liam Neeson, because he's tall. Yeah. He's pretty tall, dude. The other one, Idris Elba.
Oh.
You know the black fella from, he was supposed to be the next 007. Wait, I actually need to see a movie that he's in. Idris Elba, movies and shows. He was in, I'll share my screen. I'll show you which one it is. How do you share your screen? Oh, yeah, here. Yo. Can you see that one? This guy. That guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
All right, let's go to our flankers. Who's in your flanks?
All right, number six, I went with Vin Diesel.
Oh, family.
Number seven and captain. I got to add the captain in there, man. Is Denzel Washington.
Oh, bro. Skipper.
He's my skipper, man. And then at number eight, I've got The Rock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Off the back, running straight at AJ. It's The Rock.
Yep, that, no.
So, yeah, number six, I've got Charlize Theron. I'll show you who she is. You'll recognize her. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
She's the one in Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
And then at number seven, I got Tom Cruise. Oh, I kind of want to change that now, but. Yo, seven, Tom Cruise. And number eight, Hugh Jackman, the Aussie dude from The Last Showman.
Yeah.
Right, that's,
it's not bad.
I think you got me there. All right, halfback and first five. So we got?
Number nine, I've got Kevin Hart.
Oh, you are Kevin Hart.
Bro, don't start, man.
Yo.
Kevin Hart, because he talks a lot. And then at number 10, I've got Adam Sandler.
Oh, bro, what the heck? That's a good... Oh, gee, that's good. Yeah. Bro, that's a good one.
What's yours, man?
Yo, at nine, I got... Ryan Reynolds at nine.
Oh, okay.
Just because he's like pretty charismatic, he's pretty out there, talks pretty cool. But at number 10, I got Emma Stone. Old school Emma Stone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Adam Sandler, I reckon.
Guy. All right, back three. Midfield, 12, 13.
Midfield, I've got Ice Cube.
Oh, bro, I missed that one.
And in that center, I've got Michael B. Jordan.
Bro, I got Michael B. Jordan at center as well. So I got Michael B. Jordan at center, but at 12, I got Margot Robbie. Oh, wow.
That's still a good one.
Yo, I love Margot Robbie, bro. All right. Left wing, right wing, fullback, who we got?
Left wing, I've got Jackie Chan. Because he can move around. Number 14, I got Jamie Foxx.
The trackers of the man.
Jamie Foxx, my man. And then at 15, I got Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that makes sense. I got Zendaya at left wing because she's fast and she's got body control. Oh, wow. At right wing, I got Chris Hemsworth because he's massive.
Yeah,
and 15, Keanu Reeves. Oh, wow. What's the series called? I just watched it. Wait, what's the thing he does? What's that movie he calls? Keanu Reeves. He just does that movie. John Wick. That's where he's from.
John Wick.
Yeah, the man's. So I'm going to turn those into graphics. Make sure you guys vote for whoever's for both teams. Actually, I think I lost that. I think I lost that for in school. We went way longer than I thought. It was 1:15. Oh, hell no.
Holy.
Hour 15. Totally. Oh, bro. Oh, sweet. I'll start doing my wrap-up, Dennis. First of all, thank you to our sponsor. Hurt Locker is brought to you with the help of Freedom Internet New Zealand, delivering safe, ultra-fast internet services the Kiwi way. Thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in. We've got a new show coming out that will be coming out on Wednesdays, but this week, the second week we do, is going to come out on Thursday night, and that's going to be just weekly footy chat, and we're going to get players and stuff in because that's going to be online, and our host will be announced by the time you see this because it's going to come out on Sunday. Make sure you follow our social media channels at Hurt Locker Pod. And back to the OG. Shout out to my also AJ Foliofunga for jumping on. Sorry for taking up all your time. Today it was going to be an hour 20.
Nah, sick, you also. I'm happy to be on, eh? Before you go, make sure you clip when your guy center dropped the ball in the 1A final. Make sure you clip it. Make sure,
Lucas, I'm sorry,
man. Show yourself too, because you're in that frame.
No, because I've already been a TikTok. grateful for you. Make sure you go follow him, guys, at AJ_Foliofunga on IG. Go follow his team that he's currently playing for, the Shuttles. That's the show. Have a good day. Have a good week, fam. That's episode 11 for the potty. Out. Oh,
wow. Nice,
I can't believe you just said that, Us.
Totally. I've been waiting to say it, man.